Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, it's Pundit Mania. Paul Enos has the rundown.
Sam, we're going to be talking tobacco, taxes, and toll roads. With pundits today, we have Mike Hackett, Mendy Elliott, and Steve Robinson.
Plus, we have Larry Mathias, Mary Lau, and John Griffin. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center. Prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Travis, do you think we'll be cowboys someday?
You darn tootin', maybe we'll even win some buckles.
Get ready for the non-stop adrenaline-pounding excitement, because it's time to cowboy up for the Reno Rodeo. Join us at 10 a.m. downtown Reno, Saturday, June 18th for the Reno Rodeo Parade, followed by Kids Day at the Rodeo Grounds from noon till 3.
These guys are our future. That's why we rodeo for the kids. Yeah!
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They help to grow your trucking business?
You bet. Employee background checks, safety training. My claims even went down.
Sounds great, but expensive.
Well, they saved me 25% and my rates haven't gone up in, about 10 years.
So, do they work with builders?
Sure do.
That works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we return to the studio after the last couple of months in Carson City, and we have a great Power Pundit panel as always. Michael Hackett is here, Vice President of All-Risk Consulting. Steve Robinson is Director of Government Affairs for R&R Partners, and Mindy Elliott is partner with Sierra Business Strategies. Okay, let's start out with you, Mindy. What was the story last night around 10 o'clock when the Assembly Democrats dropped a 122-page bill to put a tax-raising initiative petition on the ballot?
I think that Carol Velardo said it best. She said, this is ludicrous. They went to the back of the bar, they had a finance committee. We were actually sitting right next to the bar.
Just so everybody knows,
It's the back of the house, behind the glass in the assembly. So they went to the back of the bar, and we thought it was just an amendment to a bill. And all of a sudden, we could hear margin tax, gross receipts tax, and then we saw the 122 pages. And it seemed like it was ill thought through relative to dropping this bill
three hours before
and expecting action.
Well, look, a lot of things happen at the end of sessions. Always have, but I agree with Mandy. It's irresponsible to bring up such substantive, in detail, procedures at the end of the session,
Steve,
without any public input.
Do you think that was the legislature trying to do the union's work for them? Because we know we've heard threats from Danny Thompson and from the teachers' union that they are going to put these things on the ballot. Do you think this was the legislature trying to throw them a bone and do their job for them as far as getting those initiatives qualified?
Well, it sent a message without any thought that it would be approved, and I think they did. They sent that message, and certainly the unions played a part in it. You bet.
All right, biggest winners and losers here.
Well, actually, I think the biggest winner certainly is the governor. He came out very well of this through this whole process, but I really think everybody's job was made easier by what the court ruled regarding the attempt to take that money from the Clean Water Coalition, and I think that really gave the legislature certainly the political cover to do what they had to do, and it also gave them the easier way to identify by what means they're going to get to where they needed to be on the budget. I think one question that will be interesting to see how it plays out is what will local governments do on past actions, because obviously we saw in special session in 2010 money taken, and in the session in 2009 money taken from local governments, and if this interpretation of the court's decision that it is applicable to all these other attempts to take money or these efforts that took money, it's going to be interesting to see how the local governments
do
it.
Well, Majority Leader Horsfield was on the program yesterday. He said he interpreted the ruling as going forward, not looking back. And isn't there a danger for county governments and city governments and other organizations that if they try to get this money back from a legislature, the legislature will just dump more unfunded mandates on them?
I'm not sure if it is forward or back, but I think the latter is correct. If the local governments do decide to move forward and proceed in a litigious manner, fine, that they're just going to push some additional services down. So I'm not sure it's a win-win for local governments. I think that it's, frankly, I represent one, and we just need to move forward. And I agree. I think going back to court, although that's obviously an option for local governments to go back to court, but for us to do that, I'm not sure it's judicious.
Steve, do you think the tipping point really in how the states and the locals get their money was 1981, when we did the tax shift, and every tax session we've had since has been affected by what we did 30 years ago?
You're right, and I actually recall that happening. And it was, at the time, I don't think people thought it was that big of a deal. There was a lot of controversy. Governor List and the legislature got some criticism, but it took subsequent sessions to see how much of an impact it did have, and
our
it still does today.
Too, the economy is there's been an economic shift in how Nevada does business, and I think that's been the real problem that we have is that economic shift.
You know, today there was an article, I think it was on MSN.com, and it said, "Is Las Vegas the new Detroit?" And that's something that I know we've talked about on this show for the last few years. Mm-hmm. Do you think our economy is going to be bolstered by what we did during this legislative session, or do you think it isn't going to have an impact?
Well, I think AB 449 sets the foundation for a new economic model. Now, whether or not we capitalize on that, you have AB 449, you had SB 75 that we were following that creates.
Would you explain just very briefly what those
I'm
are?
I'm sorry. The 449 establishes a new hierarchy for economic development, but the good news is there's a $10 million catalyst fund within 449, and the $10 million is going to be driven by local governments. So local governments are going to be at the table for the first time, and will have a voice in how economic development in their community really takes place, because they have the checkbook, and he who holds the money holds the key. And they have to work with the new director of economic development that is now a cabinet-level position within the governor's office, and that individual will have the ultimate responsibility of approving what these regional development authorities, or in our community, EDON, what they look like, how they're going to play, what the structure is. So we'll see if we're able to capitalize on that.
You know, that legislation focuses, excuse me, but you know, and they're going to hire a new director and all that. Mm-hmm. But I still see the governor along the lines of here, you know, he's the big man on campus in Carson mm-hmm. City, and with all this redevelopment or economic development focus, he's still got to be the point man on this, and I think he will be.
Well, yeah, and I think I he agree. Already has, Steve. I mean, the guy has, mm-hmm. before he was even inaugurated, he was yeah. making phone calls trying mm-hmm. to get businesses here. So, I mean, I think yeah. Governor Sandoval deserves a tremendous amount of credit for the efforts he's already put forth.
And that's why mm-hmm. I wanted that position to be a cabinet position.
But I certainly don't look at, you know, and the comparison with Detroit really came out of the Reno mm-hmm. Gazette Journal and their recent series of articles, and looking at what perhaps might happen to Northern Nevada in 20 years. But I look at what's happening in the state right now, and I think that we're off the bottom and we're on the way to recovery. It's not mm-hmm. a huge jump, yeah. but certainly if you look at the numbers, certainly on the Las Vegas Strip, the average daily room rates, you know, yeah. and some of the investment that's already coming up, these giant wheels like the London Eye that they're talking about putting it down in Las Vegas, Caesars Entertainment, their strip of development. I mean, there's a lot going on.
I would agree. I think the economic indicators have been pretty good overall, certainly for Las Vegas, but on the state as an overall basis as well, too. The one thing, though, that still needs to be corrected is the housing market. We still haven't hit bottom on that. I still think we're going to be seeing another series of foreclosures and some bad news there as well. So how we mitigate
affordable
that?
Housing, though. Well, you know, for lots of people that couldn't afford a house, they can now afford a house.
Not quite rent control, but it's I get what you're saying. But that is still something that has to be addressed, and how that plays out, I think, is going to be a determining
okay,
factor,
can't,
too.
Can't let you leave without talking about the smoking ban.
Sure.
This was kind of a deal that the gaming, the NRA, and the tavern owners got together because they got a victory through the Dottie's, you know, situation down with the Clark County Commission. They're also trying to do the same thing up here with Reno City Council. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on what occurred?
Well, you're exactly right. This was this process was set in motion months ago, and again, you're right. It's specific to the Dottie situation. That's kind of what drove the whole thing. It brought various parties together, the gaming industry on one side, the tavern owners on the other side. And based on the decision that the Clark County Commission came to, they needed the legislative fix that they wound up getting to make that decision work. Now, I say that having knowing that the Clark County Commission decision is being appealed to the federal district court, so how that plays out could be another bump in the road for this. But you're right. I mean, this was set in motion, you know, months ago.
Hey, Mike, there was a question that was asked. I think it was by Assemblywoman Carlton. She said, this really isn't a ban on smoking. It's more of a ban on food, because there's still smoking that happens in a lot of these establishments. They just can't serve food there. So we're actually not legalizing smoking. We're saying, you now can serve food. And it's only, correct me if I'm wrong, it's only in places where you have to be 21 years or older to be. Is that correct?
That's where it's going to be right now. It's not quite a simple question, but you know, I understood where Assemblywoman Carlton was coming from, but I think she's also a little confused in terms of what the purpose of the Clean Indoor Air Act. She really felt that its purpose was to get people to quit smoking, and that's not what it's about at all. Its purpose was to reduce
limit
people's
freedom,
exposure.
That's right.
In Planet Enos.
Okay, and that's where we have to leave it. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers. More pundits after this.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Local entertainment. Las Vegas Review Journal. Get inside.
All right, Sam, let's check on some commercial buildings, see how their roofs are holding up.
Some business owners can't replace their roofs right now. That's where our free inspections really help out.
Hold on. Let's go inverted. We'll get a closer look.
What do you think?
Well, it certainly can use some preventive maintenance.
Yeah, that would definitely extend the life of this roof.
You ready to check the next one?
Maybe next time we can just take a ladder.
You watch your company bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Attention antidepressant users. The FDA has associated the use of certain antidepressants with birth defects.
If you took Celexa, Lexapro, Paxil, Effexor, Zoloft,
Prozac, or Prestique and had a child born with a serious birth defect, call the Relion Group now.
Do not delay. There are time deadlines to file a claim.
There is absolutely no risk on your part. You don't owe us a penny unless we are successful.
Call 1-800-237-1788. Don't delay. Call now.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for food, fun, friends, hot slots, and video poker. Join the best slot club in town, the Conductor's Club at the Tamarack Junction, where you can earn free play and comp dollars on over 450 of the latest state-of-the-art slots and video poker machines. Play your favorite games and win cash, comps, free play, and other great prizes. The Tamarack Junction, where locals meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
They lend a hand during the difficult times following a cancer diagnosis. They're right there with patients and their families every step of the way. They're a cheering section, but never on the sidelines. They require no referral and they'll see you within 24 hours. They're the expert hands of the cancer nurse navigators at Renown, and they make the remarkable happen every single day. To learn more, visit remarkablerecoveries.renown.org.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our program that's being recorded the day after the legislature shut down for this year. We're joined by John Griffin with the Capital Company, Mary Lau, President and CEO of the Retail Association of Nevada, one of our proud sponsors, and Larry Mathias, Executive Director of the Nevada State Medical Association. Pleasure to have you all here, along with Paul Enos. Senator Robeson made the point yesterday that really the state could have just dealt with the $62 million in the Clean Water Coalition funds from Clark County and not having raised the entire $657 million. How does this affect Governor Sandoval going forward, or is there just plenty of time for him to get past it?
Plenty of time for him to get past it. I mean, I respect Senator Roberson's position, and it's one way you can look at it. But if we always deal with situations as they come up, then we may as well just have special sessions every couple months, deal with the problem. The governor wanted to make sure everything happened in 120 days. So you got to take your best shot at interpreting that decision, get it done in 120 days, and move on. If something needs to change later, then you change. But you try to make the best decision within the 120 days.
NPRI, the Keystone Group, Chuck Muth, not happy at all.
I don't know if they're not happy at all. I think, you know, Chuck has his constituency that he has to preach to and everything. Keystone didn't come out too hard against the governor's decision. NPRI did, but I'm not sure that's an appropriate position for NPRI. They're supposed to be a think tank, so we'll find out later how that goes. But I concur that the governor did absolutely the right thing. You're talking about economic development, and to have that, you have to have stability. You can't turn around and have a special session and a special session and a special session. It's clean, it's done, and I think it was the prudent decision.
And the court made it clear that if there were other cases brought before it with the same basic facts, the state taking money that was dedicated for one purpose, taking it from a county or local government and using it for another purpose, that they would find the same way. So, yes, it was about a $62 million issue, but it would have been about $600 million worth of lawsuits. So I think they had no real choice. And remember that just 2 weeks ago, that we were at the impasse, that the Democratic leadership still wanted two major tax bills that they had to give up on, and the governor was opposed to continuation of the sunset tax.
And I think something that people forget, some of these groups, you know, saying it's a tax increase, it's actually a tax decrease. Every business in the state of Nevada that was paying the modified business tax gets either they pay nothing if they have a payroll under $250,000, or they get a deduction of that amount, so they don't have to pay on that first $250,000. Yeah. So, I mean, I think this is actually a win for the governor. They say he increased taxes. Actually, he didn't. He decreased taxes, and I think that's an important point that a lot of these critics are forgetting.
I think it was a huge win for the governor. I think in the end, he he laid the foundation for how his administration is going to be operating now for the next 2 years.
It's called leadership.
Yeah.
He's absolutely being a leader of this state and took an executive position, and that was it.
And he's got another 3.5 years, Larry.
Yeah. Paul's exactly right. You know, politics and NPRI and Chuck Muth are about absolutes, black and white. Governing is not black and white. And when you get into the area of gray where there are some tax breaks for other people, you know, that's governing. And, you know, and ultimately, good governing and leadership will trump politics at most.
But campaigning is about black and white, and that always interferes in the governing process. And we'll see how it does with the elections that are upcoming.
You know, one of the things that we've seen across the country this year is the unions show their power and come in and try to get the process to move in their way. Do you think we saw a lot of that this legislative session in Nevada?
I don't think so. This session was an anomaly. I mean, the unions obviously have a lot of power in the state. I think they came in, what they would have liked was a non-starter. And so they're going to go to probably, potentially, where there's a bigger power base for them, which is the ballot.
Let's change the topic to mining. How did mining fare overall in the session?
I think they came out better than they thought they would. It was a hard-fought battle, but again, we cannot continue to cherry-pick after certain industries. If they're successful at the time and try to get them and try to just, like, disintegrate something that is part of our state, basically. I mean, if we're going to, and I keep going back again to economic development, but if we're going to have a state that is going to grow and going to continue, you can't say come to Nevada, and if you're successful, well, you get to pay more. I mean, just because you want more is not a logical reason to ask for more. And they came through. They paid.
They certainly started the session with a very large bullseye on them, and I think that they, for the most part, didn't pay a real high price that they might have.
John?
I agree. I agree with Mary. I think... And ultimately, I think that's to Sandoval's credit and the Democratic leader's credit, is you can't always continue to pick at the successful person, because the message you send to everybody else is, oh, heaven forbid, if we come to Nevada, what happens if we're too successful? You know, that's just a bad message to send. And, you know, it's mining's turn this time. Whose turn is it next time?
Well, I think we see that every session. I know, you know, I think Mary put it very eloquently in 2003. It's whose turn is it in the barrel this time? And I know we've had targets on us, the trucking industry, hospitals, you know, everybody in 2003, but the banks were the ones that got it that time. So, I mean, I think it is still a silly game that we do play in this state, and I think it is something that we do need to get over, and I think that's what's nice about having some grown-ups there, like the governor, to allay some of those other issues that come out of the Gang of 63.
I think this was an important session, though, not just because the grown-ups stood up and made things work, and I think the governor gets and deserves as much credit as possible on that, but this was also an incredible session. It was a very unique session in terms of the dynamics, what was on the table, what they failed to do, and the largest freshman class in modern times. And I think we're out of that freshman class going to come the future leadership, and I think it's been accelerated by this trial that they've had in this legislative session.
Well, and I think that's interesting. I was going to bring up term limits and how you feel that it affected this session.
Oh, it affected it tremendously. But you have people that aren't used to the process that think when you get an election certificate, all of a sudden you really do get to make decisions. And then you find out that, no, there is a path, there is a process, and there is policy. And you can't just jump all over the place. And some of these freshmen were very enthusiastic, as they should be. But sometimes you have to slow down and work through things and work through the process. I'm not a fan of term limits. You know, I mean, it's fun. It's like my legislator, I want, your legislator should go. That kind of stuff. It's called the elections. I mean, it happened. We'll live with it. And that's where we're going to stay.
You know, speaking about policy, I think there are some people that deserve a lot of credit for really focusing on policy. And I think somebody who really stood out this session was Marilyn Kirkpatrick, trying to really focus on policy. And then also bringing those freshmen up. I mean, her mm-hmm. committee, her committee, she actually ran two, Tax and Assembly Government Affairs, I think were some of the best run. She had a tremendous amount of freshmen on those committees, and she really did try to explain the process and ask questions that they may not know to ask, but to get them educated on the issues.
And she guided them very gently. She would say, thank you for your question that is being dealt with at LCB. She's a rock star. She's awesome.
And April Master Luka did the same thing with the Health and Human Services Committee, which had an awful lot of complex issues there. And again, a majority of that committee were freshmen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's where we got to leave it. So much more to talk about it. We'll do that over the coming days and months. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with mesothelioma? Mesothelioma is a rare terminal cancer attacking the lining of the lung, chest, or abdomen caused by exposure to asbestos. The asbestos industry knew the dangers, but failed to warn the public. The Asbestos Legal Center is dedicated to helping victims of mesothelioma get the compensation they deserve. We also assist those with lung cancer and asbestosis. Call the Asbestos Legal Center at 1-800-970-DUST.
Back in the days of the Comstock Lode, the Virginia and Truckee Railroad was making history hauling gold and silver ore. Now, after more than 70 years, the V&T is rolling over miles of new track between Carson City and Virginia City. Get your tickets and get a sense of the Old West as this historic train follows the same scenic route it did so many long years ago. The V&T Railroad. Don't miss it.
Car accidents change lives every day. When you've been injured in a serious accident, you need experienced legal help to make sure the insurance company's offer is fair.
Some folks try to settle with insurance companies on their own.
That's why you need experienced, knowledgeable attorneys who will fight for you.
Bob and I used to work for the insurance companies.
We know their tricks.
Call Galloway & Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
Rosewood Park Apartments is Northern Nevada's largest multifamily complex and the perfect place to call home. Enjoy our state-of-the-art fitness center, stay active on our tennis, basketball, and volleyball courts, cool off in one of our four pools. We're family-friendly with two playgrounds and included courtesy patrol. Rosewood Park Apartments is now under new management. $99 moves you in. Units starting as low as $609. Luxury living at affordable prices. Rosewood Park Apartments, welcome home.
If you're injured on the job in Nevada, you have 7 days to report your injury to your employer. You'll complete some paperwork, then go to the doctor and complete some additional paperwork. Get copies of these papers because they are what trigger your benefits. If you have any questions or concerns regarding your claim, call me. The consultation is free, but the information is priceless. I'll deal with the insurance companies so you can get well. Call me. I'm Kathleen Sigurdsson.
Finally, a place to stay and play in historic Virginia City. It's the best of the Old West at the 67-room Victorian-style Silverland Inn and Suites. Now you can spend the night and enjoy a different world just a short ride from Reno. Indoor heated pool and hot tub, special events and activities are all available for your enjoyment. Stay Sunday through Thursday and a standard room is only $69. Call the Silverland Inn and Suites and discover a new way to stay and play in the Old West.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. While you're there, check out the blogs and also Nevada News Channel. And you can also download the show free of charge from iTunes.
See, and tomorrow we're going to be talking to Bill Raggio about his new book, A Man of His Word.
We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.